The Team Never Quit podcast is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal has multiple savings and investing options to help you get closer to your financial goals. Learn more at NavyFederal.org.
Team Never Quit Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
Well, guys, welcome back. I'm excited to be hanging out with you guys on a great Friday. It's beautiful here in Texas. Man, weather's great.
It's Friday.
And it's Friday.
Is that your radio voice?
This is the radio voice.
Oh, my gosh,
voice.
That's hilarious.
One man this summer. We've got a really awesome guest in store.
You I think guys one day somebody's going to snatch him out of there, out of that seat
just for that reason.
For that voice.
I hope I get a good paycheck for it. That'll be really awesome. I just want to get the one man. But I don't have the
did
depth.
Did you catch that, how he did?
No. I promise.
I know. Top rope. Did you fire that over my mouth?
No. I promise. No.
Did you catch that, Zach?
No.
Bro, he just
okay,
asked
I'm
for
gone.
A raise.
I'm gone.
That's what I thought he said. I was like, all right, you give me one sound effect on the sound effect board.
Sound effect. Beep, 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 beep. Am I the sound effect guy now? We got you. Hey, y'all probably know the guy that we have on the show today by something other than his name. Veteran with a sign is what most people know you as on Instagram. But we've got Zachary Bell, who's a husband, father, and a Marine Corps veteran. Zach, dude, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
I'm going to kick this thing off with an icebreaker question because that's what we do. And this is kind of a little deep in thought. Would you rather have regrets about actions or inactions?
Actions.
Yeah. Boom.
Actions. Like, I want to know how it plays out. I don't want to shoulda, coulda, woulda. Like, I mean, I'm sure my wife would wish I would kind of lean back and take a moment when I just kind of dive right in. But that's all I've ever known is just lean in. So.
Man, that might be our generation, too. They beat that into us.
I think so.
I steadily try to get back off of that. Like, assimilating back into the world. Like, when we came back down and we're kind of getting back in with the family and everything, I'm slowly but surely getting that part. The slowdown is hard for me.
Yeah, I mean, you're speaking my language. I have this fear. I have this, like, image in my mind of, like, you know, in The Incredibles where Mr. Incredible's selling insurance?
Yeah.
And, like, he used to be the man.
Dude, straight
and
in the
then,
pendulum.
Like, that's me. Like, that's how I feel. Right. Like, some old lady's going to be like, but you won't pay my benefit. And I have to lie to her to get her benefit paid out. And it's just, like, this nightmare of, like, I don't know, trapped in the mundane. I don't know.
Okay, so here's how I had to do it. I had to, and because of the way I transitioned out and back in, it made it a lot easier for me to do this. But I told myself, finally, I was like, I never got out. I was like, I just took my uniform off and I went undercover. So I was in there with the admiral and all the bosses and the captains. I'm like, hey, here's your new job. You got to marry this hot chick, knock her up, and help her raise her kids. That's your assignment, right? And you can't ever argue back at her. You can talk to her, but you can't argue back because she outranks you.
Dude, and then Navy SEALs get the best missions.
We I'm do, so dude. It never stops. That's why I'm throwing it out for you guys right there, man. It's that cool. That's what I get to do, right? And then now it's like to the – because my assignment going around was for the – to make sure the movie was done right, the book and all that was just – mm-hmm. And then I never stopped because there was a short period of time, I think, when I got out and I was like, man, I didn't know what to do. I was like, man, I got this – all these skill sets. It's like a race car on a farm or something. You know, I'm trying to say it back. It's just like I didn't know how to apply the skill sets that I had. And I would talk to our guys and be like, man, there's no job for snipers out there or that machine guy. I was like, no, not for that title, but it is for what makes it up. And I was like, all right, what'd it take to become a sniper? You got to have discipline and blah, this, that, and the other. And then just low ranking on the totem. I always kind of went in like that. It made it a lot easier because going out with all our skill set, it pisses you off when you come back because no one's moving like we are.
So I traded his race car in for a John Deere.
Well, I got a tractor, bro. We'll talk about that later. Matter of fact, I'll do a whole... I'm not even sponsored by them.
Did y'all ride that down back here?
Damn right I did.
Did you? You didn't come with?
No.
I was thinking about that Kenny Chesney song when you went up there.
Okay, so on the way down, I was like, babe, you want to ride down on the tractor with me?
Yeah, exactly.
Then she had to do something in the house. And I was like,
taking these wheels in the hot summer sun.
What's that, man?
Sort of, here she comes. Yeah. That's Eastern East Tennessee.
That's it. Yeah. What's up, man?
Oh my gosh.
I know all about it.
That's awesome.
It's a freaking thing. I don't know what I mean. It came with the overalls and the old timer pocket knife, but that tractor is something. It was like a life changer. All right.
So, do we have a Patreon question?
That's it.
Oh, that was
it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay.
Knocked it out.
All right. We did.
Yeah. No, I just always have this fear of like living a life of regret, and it's driven me to do everything I've done right, wrong, or indifferent.
So you need to get "Nah Regrets" tattooed around your throat.
Yeah, no, I've got plenty of bad tattoos. I just keep going.
Like, right?
Yeah, I know, which is weird. That's a very common theme. People like tell me that they have like a certain amount of pleasure or displeasure about my tattoos, which is, I mean, I don't care.
Really?
Yeah. It's very common, actually.
Are they in an appropriate place? Not like that.
She's throwing the shade now.
That's a Marine right there, right? On the side of you, you understand he's a Marine, right? I mean, that sucker would buck off naked just as
I don't want to see him naked.
The one on his foot. Like, to get to the foot.
I don't know where this podcast is playing, so I'm pretty pissed. No, I mean, it's just on my arm.
She walks right into that one.
I'm filling in blank spaces, but people, I mean, there was, at one point, there was like a really long time where the comments were just like, what do your tattoos say? I don't like them. Fix them. And it was, it didn't matter age, gender, people just kind of like went in on it. It was kind of interesting, actually.
Yeah, to hear the thoughts of people played out on the web there. It's like a video game, right? It's like all those avatars they send in, all that feedback on you. And I mean, I see some of my buddies get worked up about that stuff.
Like, it's a lot. I mean, you know, you've been doing it forever.
He doesn't.
But
read
I always say
comments,
comments on the internet are like first draft thoughts. People just kind of throw them out there.
Sure, absolutely. That's what that is, man. It's like a game you can plug in and out of. I mean, you got something to say to me, man. Eventually, you'll wind up right in front of me.
That's what I always say.
And then I'll freaking, you know, then he really got my damn attention. But other than that, man, hell, everyone's got a weird thought.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I remember growing up, there had been real consequences for words.
Oh, dude.
There's not anymore. Well, I mean, there is. It's just not the same. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain.
It's like we're making that transition into, we're in a new period of time.
Yeah.
You know that because our billionaires are measuring the size of their dicks by their rocket ships, not their yachts anymore. So we have crossed over to a different dimension, dude. You understand me? You got that? Yes. Okay. I'll put that out right now. All right. We're in a different protocol altogether.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's great.
So everything that we learn, what we go through, it's funny with the tattoos. Like in our family, you're not allowed to have them unless you sign up and you get in combat. Like two wars, two arms. That's it. Because whatever you put on your body will show up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's basically how I got around it. Is my grandparents, they weren't upset about it because it was like, that's like from the service, so it's okay.
Yeah.
But if I'd just done it, it'd be different. But now you see people who have like full-on face tattoos stuff. And it's just, I mean, that's just a commitment. You've got to really be famous at that point.
Right.
Like, I mean.
You remember back in the day you read old writings and they talked about the colors of people, the green people. There were people down here that were green. Like them military, all the sailors and the military guys, eventually they all turned green from all that paint and all that ink. That's what that warrior section.
Really?
You're an alien.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not from around here. But that's where that comes from. Like you go.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yep. See, I remember the first tattoo I saw, the first military tattoo I saw was Hold Fast.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's a badass. That's bad. Yeah.
I know. I wanted
it's
to do
really
it so
cool.
bad.
I wanted to do that so bad, but going to the knuckles is a big deal.
It is. It's a full commitment.
That's commitment like there, man.
You can't wear polos and like just
up.
Be slouching. Yeah. You got to be deadlifting every day.
Yeah, every day.
You got to be like punching concrete.
That's
hold
right.
Fast.
I mean, you see that old Bolson's made him salty skin and shit like that, man. That's for sure.
You can't be loving on your daughter with Hold Fast.
Well, I mean, some of our guys. I had a warrant officer talk to this one dude. And we were going through training. He's like, good Lord, what happened? Did you fall asleep on a Sunday comics or something? I'm trying to read you and figure you out, man. He had him knuckles down. Old Bose was ready. Had the double anchored up and the full house of cards. It was pretty cool. Yeah.
That's always been biggest in the Navy.
Yeah.
It's you know, you cross the equator and you do all the different stuff. If you're a turtle, I don't even know all of it. You definitely know more than me. If you're like all these different things, and it kind of permeated like all levels of military culture after that. Cause I just remember like sailors in particular, they were always heavily tattooed.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's what you do in the Navy. Drink beer and get tattoos. We still do that.
I mean, great.
Who are we to disrespect our elders, forefathers who came before us? On those old sailing ships, man, there was always rum. I mean, look, being out in the water, hard life. You either drink the seawater, you drink that damn rum. You know what I mean? And it cleaned you out. That's what the biggest thing was for dysentery. It made sure that you it helped with that.
There you go. The health
it's for health reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. True statement. That's why that helped. All right. That's why
there's
that's
history
around.
Here.
This is a medical reason.
There's a reason why they call it wine and spirits. You throw that stuff in when hit people, they're going to whine, and then you'll see what spirit they got running inside. They'll get freaking pissed off. I mean, you know, we got buddies that have alter ego names. Like, we named them because when they drink that sucker, his spirit really shows up. Like, that's what he really looks like.
Oh, yeah.
So I was in an infantry unit, and notoriously, machine gunners are the worst.
Worst, yeah.
You give them a little booze. I mean, they're all built like fullbacks anyways. And one of my best friends, I'll say this, his name's Chad. And his spirit was Super Chad, and he would tie a poncho liner around his neck, take a Sharpie, and always write it in the wrong direction. Write an S on his chest, so he'd always be too drunk. And so he'd always be messed up and would just run around the third deck balcony of the barracks chasing people. It was the worst when you were on duty, but when you weren't, it was pretty hilarious.
That's hilarious. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was incredible.
That's one of the things you take from being in that community.
That's so
and that's the coolest part. It's like civilian, you can go back to being a civilian. You can't go back into being a military. You have to actually sign up and do that. And for any other reason, I mean, forget about if we never had to go to combat or if we did our thing, just to see and meet everything that walks through there.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't know people from Pennsylvania got down like that till that moment.
Right?
It taught me something.
They're great. Some of those people, all of them are great. I mean, they'll come rolling in.
Some of them lived up to expectations. The Northeast is still kind of the Northeast. Man. It's a hard pass for me, but like a lot of them are really good folk, especially in the Pennsylvania, Massachusetts area.
I agree with that 100%. It took me a while. You know, I had to nestle in there myself, but once they start loving on you, you can see them. They're great, man.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's funny as hell.
Let's hear your story.
How do we get started on this, man? Yeah. Back it up. You got military family?
No, not really. I do. My uncle and my cousin served, but it was just kind of intermittent a little bit. But until that, my uncle served in the first Gulf War, and then my cousin was in Iraq. But there wasn't like a long lineage.
So anytime anybody asks you that question again, just say yes.
All right, yeah, I will.
Be proud of all of that, brother. You understand?
No.
I mean, there's
people who are like West Point graduates and stuff. It was wartime. I'm talking about like people did it as a profession. Yeah. It was not something that had been done before.
How old are you?
I'm 34.
Yeah.
Ma'am.
Squared away.
I'm trying. Yeah. I'm 34. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee originally, and I was there until I turned 18, and then I enlisted, and that was it.
Yeah.
Did you always want to go, or was there a reason why you decided?
I remember 9/11 when I was in eighth grade. I think it was either seventh or eighth. I can't remember the exact year, but I remember my mother called me. So we're Central Standard Time, and it was right after the first plane went in.
What were you doing?
And then I was walking to the school bus.
Oh, check.
And so she called us and she's like, "Don't go to school. I don't know what's happening. I need you to stay home." And I remember like grabbing my brother by the back of his, I used to call it the little brother handle, like the handle on his backpack.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I grabbed him and I was like, "Come on." And like he came back in. I turned on the TV. When I did, I saw the second plane go in and I was just like, "Whoa."
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. Like it, I remember it didn't seem real, because until that moment, it's really hard to explain now to like I think our kids are all pretty close to the same age.
Yep.
Like the world's smaller, but until that moment, New York was just a place I had saw on like movies and TV. That was like there, 100%. You know what I mean?
100%.
Like it was real, real. I remember like Independence Day was a movie about New York.
Yeah.
This was really happening.
I completely understand what you're saying on that. I thought all the way till when you get up there, first time I ever got to go there too, I was in my uniform of Cracker Jacks and did the whole New York walk kind of deal. And I mean, it lives up to its reputation in all facets of it. But
yeah,
that kind of brought it home, and we're talking about the world getting small. When you get into a fight with somebody, if they're on the other side of the earth, it just goes, like, I mean, talk about real small.
Yeah, and then words just started, like, flying into my brain I didn't understand. They're like attack, terrorism, you know, and, like, it's weird to even think about it now because, like, I remember cell phones stopped working and, like, all these different things, and they're like, I remember, like, I heard Bin Laden's name for the first time and talking about, like, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, like, all of it was just kind of coming in, and I was just like, I don't know what that is, but I remember that moment. It carried on until I was able to enlist, and, you know, I signed up with the Marines. You know, I wanted to go to combat, and I was like, Marines, infantry, let's go, and, I'd read your book. I remember your book had come out, and I'd got it, and I was like, Lone Survivor. I remember this was like this big trident. I was just like, okay. And I got it like when I was in SOI, which is like our secondary training, and I would read it every so often. I just remember being like, good thing I didn't try that. I can't swim half as good. Like, I just remember the bud section being like, there's no way I would have made it through that. But I had this really weird moment. My first deployment, we're in Kandahar Airfield.
Yep.
Right. And, I remember reading it, and it said, you get to the Pashtun Wali part. And I was like, I remember that. And I kept, and I finished the book like that month. But yeah,
that's awesome.
I remember when 9/11 went down, what we were doing. I mean, that and the country got solidified real fast. I mean, if he could have signed up in the seventh grade, he would have, right? They would have.
Oh, yeah. Dude, like, hey, I remember all sorts of stuff.
Get the recruiters out there and get them into the kindergartens, because these suckers will sign up. Yeah. You know, once you hit us in the face like that,
Marcus had gone into the teams before 9/11.
I was back in the 1900s.
What's up?
Whoa.
1999. Whoa.
You had black boots and everything, didn't
you? I did.
Yeah, you did.
I did. Thank you. Sure did.
So, yeah.
You had the M15, you know, not the 16, because it hadn't been invented yet.
No, and a Vietnam flak jacket. When we dropped into Iraq for our first op, I had a Vietnam flak jacket on. It was cool. Everything else was high speed, low drag, man.
Wasn't your first platoon leader Richard Marcinko? Wasn't that true?
I wish, man. Rest in peace, brother.
Rest in peace. He's one of the best, man.
He was one of the best. Taught me everything I know. Matter of fact, he was my first platoon leader. I got a hold of him when I was in ninth grade, I think. He started training me when my dad slid that Rogue Warrior book down the table. I was like, what's this? He's like, new math book. I was like, roger that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Joking for all of those fact checkers.
Oh, yeah.
For the fact checkers.
I have to give the fact checkers something to do.
They're bored right now.
You know what I'm talking about?
Just some soft math. Yeah.
The first time I ran him. So and the way it works in the SEAL teams, man, whatever your buds class is, it's kind of like your stamp. Like we all have that social security number thing. And if you're one class under, you're still a freaking new guy to everybody. Mm-hmm. And no matter what you go through, what you do, because every buds class after is easier than the one you went. And first time I ever met him, he was training us. No, it was at a reunion, man. He gave me the business. He's like, give me a freaking beer, you new guy, this, that, and the other. And then I'll just sit and listen. Like, when you got a bunch of them dudes around, like, because they'll start going at each other. And that's how you learn. Mm-hmm. When the old-timers start razzing, it's hilarious.
We just interviewed somebody that was class 267 or something like that. And every team guy, every single one, when they say their buds class, they say the last hard class. Every single one. It doesn't matter if they're 115 or three, whatever they're on now, three whatever. They always say the last hard class.
I was the last hard buzz class. My brother, when he went through, shit was easy.
Yeah.
He's a freaking punk. Whatever.
Was that after? And that was after he did a weekend for you, right?
Damn right. Check it out. So I'll give him a little test of what my class was. He left. He went back to college. Yeah.
That is true.
That's pretty good, right?
That's good.
Make sure you got that.
Yeah.
Morgan Luttrell for Congress.
Yeah, Morgan Luttrell for Congress.
Yeah, Mojo for Congress. Mojo. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, sorry. So we got off track. So you go into the Marine Corps.
Yes.
Right when you turned 18.
Right. I mean, really, really close. My family told me to try to do a semester of college, and I was there. is probably the nicest way to say it. I left that one semester with like a 1.67 GPA, not like it was a 1.67. So like academically, I spelled my name wrong at least once. Like by that.
Check it out. I mean, you can actually go if you. The trick is to get the picture of you at the college with the shirt on. So you frame that. So when the kids are like, "Dad, you go to school?" Damn right, I did right there. And don't worry about that GPA.
I tried. And I don't know. I just thought I was like in the debt program. I was like, I'm going to go serve. This is what I'm going to do. And I called my recruiter and I was like, "Do you have an earlier date?" And he had a date in like May or whatever. He's like, "Well, we got some dates in February." I was like, "Run it." Cause I'd already got in like late 2006 or whatever. Cause you know, they're always trying to fill their quotas and stuff. But I was like, if a ship date comes early, I'll do it. And then I did.
I think the February ones always come in early. I mean, no one wants to go then.
It's cold. Yeah, that's what he told me. He's like, "You sure?" Like most people like to wait.
Dude, if a recruiter tells you that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like if the damn recruiter says that, like, "Hey, bro, you know, I don't know if I'd even do this." And my job is to really get you.
With hindsight being 2020, his hesitation was palpable.
Right?
And I should have been like, "Well, that's weird. It's his job to do this." And he's like, "All right, man, cool."
Whatever. I just thought he had like a tick or something. I don't know. Dude's got medals out the wazoo for ramming dudes into the military. It's awesome. Yeah. Those guys are the ones for business people out there or salesmen, used car salesmen. You guys need somebody, find recruiters. Them suckers can get, if they can sell a human, they can sell humans. Is that what that is?
I mean,
let's okay, if we military dying this down, like military talk is like basically, man, like you recruited me in. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
To die.
You sold my soul.
Yeah, I signed up to die, man. Dude, that was great. How'd you get me like that?
And they have sales tactics. I remember they he had these like tiles on the keychain. Did y'all have these?
Of course.
Because the Navy and the Marines are very, very similar. It's Department of the Navy. But
the men's department, I remember
it,
right?
He laid down the tiles and it was like honor, courage, commitment. And it was like all these like really cool traits. And he like put them down in front of me and like very theatrical. And he was like, "Which one do you want? Hey, this is the best. This is like my only cool moment in life." And I remember I like pushed them all back to him. I was like, "I want all of them."
Oh, yeah. What's up?
Because like, I just remember him being like, "Honor." And he put it down. He's like, because he had his like keychain of like, "This is what you do." Like he was moving me through his pitch.
That's awesome.
Like it's like a, but I just remember pushing him. I'm like, "I want all of them. 0-11. Let's go." And like he's like, "Are you sure?" And I was like, "Yes, that's what I want." So,
bro, I walked in and my recruiter, he was sitting at his desk in a pair of camis, and he had his boots unlaced and had his feet kicked up on his desk, and his head behind him was the Navy SEALs poster with Charlie Sheen and all that. And he's like, "You think you can be a SEAL?" "I don't think so. Get out of my face." I was like, "No, I can do this." You know what I mean? Like they tell you you can't. Now it's they're trying to, you know, "You can do this. You're good."
Well,
you
they've got a pipeline now. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to compete with the Army is what I've gathered, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's always a competition between us, man. It depends on who we're fighting or who we want to beat up, who gets the cool commercials.
But now they've got like the prep and they've got free buds
talking about for us?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. The mentors.
Yeah, they got SEAL pup, like the can babies or whatever they call them. Let's start from the beginning now.
Our son's roommate is doing it right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't
stuff
have it.
That I didn't know about or.
Yeah.
Maybe life been different. Who knows? But
it still
sucks. I couldn't swim.
Yeah, it still
I just
sucks.
I couldn't swim.
You still got to go through it. I mean, actually, the more information you know about it, the more terrifying it is. If you actually read it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, we didn't have that. Like, "Oh, man, that looks so cool. What part?" You know, where they're getting hurt and thrown out of airplanes and everyone's yelling at them. Why does that look cool? I don't know. I didn't know why that looked cool. I just the way they delivered it looked cool to me, man.
It looked cool because of the Charlie Sheen movie. I remember that
Charlie
Sheen movie.
Thank you. Yeah. Now y'all
and I shouldn't have watched it at what age I was.
Well,
so
who do y'all, man, y'all got some good ones though. Marine Corps, man. Y'all got Gunny Highway.
Dude, that's one of the best.
Clint Eastwood, Heartbreak Ridge, man. That's always a go-to for me. Matter of fact, every
incredible.
Marine I run into is Gunny Highway.
Mm.
Until they prove otherwise. That's kind of respect I give them.
Seriously. I'll take that.
Yeah, no, it's, man.
Well, I mean, he's a very specific thing, and there's not many of them left.
No.
He's a wartime staff non-commissioned officer.
Non-com.
Like, they even say it. Like, we should just put you in a box. That says break in case of war. Yeah. Like, that's a very real thing. They don't exist anymore.
You need to leave them dudes in the training compounds and not put the like the polished, like you can put brass in there, just not the polished brass. Polished brass does not need to go in into that cave, dude.
No.
And then put when the Gunny sends them some bitches out, when fucking roll them suckers up, man.
Yeah, he's, I mean, one of my company Gunnies, his name is Gunnery Sergeant Brian Walker, and he gave this speech on our second tour in Marja. And it's this John Glenn speech. It's like online and stuff, but like he's that. He's like in the middle of our us about to go launch the mission. He had somehow, not somehow, he put Red Bulls and Marlboro Reds into a Connex box that was like just his box. And so he's giving this speech and he's ripping Marlboro Reds and crushing Red Bulls. It's like the most Gunnery Sergeant Marine Corps moment ever.
Yeah. Like, and was it, and Sergeant Major Plumley, like them guys, like when he goes like, hey, morning, Sergeant Major. How do you know what kind of effing morning it is? You know, them guys just, you have to have those around. They're here for a reason.
They remember. That's what I always thought.
Yeah, they're like elephants. They remember all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
You remember everything.
Well, I'm getting in that direction. That's what I'm talking about. Like, that's another reason why I want you to keep them around, because eventually I'm going to wind up there.
Oh, my gosh, Marcus.
Yeah.
I'm going to need something to do. My voice is already changing.
Like, today, Axe is getting ready for school, and Axe has to make a rap about something in school. And I was like, babe, help Axe make a rap. You're good at that kind of stuff. And he goes, oh, I had to make a rap in school. And he starts reciting it. He remembers the rap he made in elementary school. How in the world? Like, I
was
going to
publish
remember.
It one day. It was really good.
I don't remember.
Do you remember it now?
Yeah,
I want to hear it.
He does. Come on, babe, say it.
No freaking way, man. I'm not walking into that. Are you kidding me? Next damn question. That was like almost pillow talk.
We're going to beatbox.
Now, if you drop a beat for me, man, I might have to go back into it.
No.
Yeah, one shot, one opportunity.
There you go. Vomit on my sweat already.
Gunner's MREs are ready.
Man,
Oh my God!
You can see it kind of when I'm driving around taking my kids to school. I notice the generation starting to lower their rigs back down. They're starting to fly those vibrant colors, listening to the rap music coming back around, like what we grew up with, 70s and 80s babies, that kind of thing. And it's cool to hear him say to talk like that.
Yeah,
dude. I mean, I grew up in Memphis, so like it was right at the time like Hustle and Flow, the movie came out. Memphis was really big. 3-6 Mafia was blowing up everywhere, and like people had 12s in the trunk, and it was crazy.
Boom, rattling in the back, like, right?
Yeah, your car used to be your thing. I mean, I even remember there was, you know, Mike Jones, Chopped and Screwed came out of the Texas era. Texas rap was big then too. It was wild.
Man, rolling around in the Lax, the 88s with the boom in the back. Yeah. Come on, man. Dude. Absolutely.
Let's
that's
go.
That's coming back, man.
Let's go.
Oh my gosh.
It's a Memphis, man. That's Elvis territory.
Elvis. Dude,
I walked around with an Elvis ID most of my young life and got away with it. Like, I would throw it out at the bars, and they'd be like, all right, thanks. I mean, it's like, really? Cool.
It worked?
Set it oh, yeah.
Yeah. I had a sideburn. Team guys are notorious for a sideburn. It's like the only thing we try to get away with.
Back
actually,
then,
this generation is
now
is
they have mustaches. Yeah,
the porn stash.
Yeah.
And they're bringing that. That's from the Vietnam era. The
it's short shirts and facial hair.
Yeah.
Short shorts.
That's right, dude. The sweeties are back.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you're in the military, you're in the Marines early on. Tell us about that.
So I had, me and my wife were dating beforehand, and I don't know, I just knew she was the one. That's all I can ever think to say. Like, I think that true love is when you find the one person who always makes you want to be the best version of yourself. And like, I saw her, and
write that down.
She was my cousin's friend. And like, we're at a party, and like, I was like, oh my God, who is that girl? And she never acknowledged my existence. And so for 2 weeks, I had to, for 2 weeks, I had to fight to get her phone number. And then that turned into dating. And then I enlisted, and I just didn't want to not ever be without her. And so I asked her to marry me, and she said yes. And about 5 seconds later, we found out she's pregnant with our first child. But excuse me, it's a really weird time in the Marine Corps. It was 2007.
Yeah.
Air, so they kept telling us we weren't going to anywhere because Iraq was scaling down at that time. The budget hadn't been approved to increase to Afghanistan. And they're like, you're going to go on like a Mediterranean cruise, a MEU.
Yeah,
a Marine Expeditionary, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's fine. Like, I'll be home for that. And then January, February, they said, you're going to Afghanistan. And then March of 2008, my first daughter was born, and I left 2 days after for Afghanistan for my first tour. And that was really, really hard. I was invincible until that moment.
Yep.
And then I became something different, I would say. Because like I was like, I'm not scared of anything. And then when I held her for the first time, I was like, oh, I'll do whatever it takes to get back to you. And I did that and then came back home. And, you know, we wanted to have another child. And they told us we were going to Iraq for 90 days in 2009. We're going to be in the green zone. You have Wi-Fi, you'll have fast food, like you'll just, you know, you'll live like a Navy SEAL.
So great, right?
Yeah. And
again, great salesmanship. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. Like, I was like, your book agent will meet you at the tent, and it'll be so cool. And, we did that, and then I remember they're like, go turn on the TV because President Obama's going to West Point. You're going to Afghanistan with this deployment to Marja. And so we did that and found out we were deploying to Marja. And my second daughter was born a month and a half into my second tour. And I only found out by Red Cross message. And that was the moment that I knew my military career was over, actually. When that happened, I was on a patrol base. We had just taken casualties in another company. And like, I'd actually taken a phone off of a reporter. I threatened him to leave him outside if he didn't give me the phone. I had a Red Cross message and I called my wife and I was just like, I love you. Is she okay? Are you okay? And I hung up the phone. I didn't talk to her for like 3 more months after that. But
aww. I remember when, all them guys didn't get to come home and watch your kids born. Crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that wasn't the way the war is. I mean, Afghanistan, as you know, is way more dynamic, and there's not as much infrastructure. We were living out of a rucksack for 7 months at a time, which, you know, is exactly what I wanted.
Right.
You know, but you're just, you know, you're pulling up the Iridium trying to get a call, and that's it.
Well, that's one thing I tell the younger guys, man, is don't, if you can, 0 to 40, because that's usually your military career, 0 to 40, right?
Yeah.
Don't get married. If you do, don't have kids. Because it's not that you fear anything. It's fearing for them. It's like a shift over. They take that, whatever power they take away from us, it's amazing. And soon, when they step into the, especially those little girls, man.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, they've really changed my capacity for love. And they've made me a better person because of it. But it was, so it's her birthday today. Aww. And like, I could
the hell are you doing with us? The date. Huh? I'm kidding. I was like, what the hell?
No,
you doing
she's in school. Okay. But
as she should be. I'm sorry. I was like, so I'm a terrible very, father. Very,
no, you're not. I mean, they're barely in school. Schools are closing down. Stuff,
so okay. No, don't worry. I barely got them in there. It's fine.
They don't even know how to read anymore.
I know. My kid's like, Dad, I don't really got to go to school. I'm like, nah, son, stay home. What the hell? I was like, you don't feel good? I feel fine. Well, you don't look like you feel good. Stay home anyways.
Yeah, let Axe stay home so you can work on his rap career. I mean, that's all you
got to
do.
We got that now. So if we get locked back down, I know that we have something to pursue.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll be dropping bars on you.
That's it, man. You know, catching that his older brother, right? And we got.
How did your wife handle that with you being gone when she was having babies?
Well, it was somewhat unimaginable. I mean, she's the toughest, coolest person ever, and like I don't even know how she done it because like it's a, I always say like it's a really bad pitch to be like, hey, we're going to get married. I'll be around sometimes and then you'll be pregnant and then I'll be gone. And hopefully I come back. Like it's not a good sales.
Hopefully the wives don't ever write a book about that particular time in our lives. You know what I'm talking about? Like with the courting phase, it's like we lay just the, we take them everywhere. They get to see anything. We're always together. Everything's cool. It's cool being with a guy in the military. And the minute we get hitched up, we ain't never around.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And
there's a phase. There's a literal phase in between there that happens.
And then all my friends were like,
bro, you got to stop getting your wife pregnant. Every time she gets pregnant, we go to Afghanistan. So I was like, yeah.
Well, you really got like that too.
Yeah. Because every time we're supposed to do like a non-combat deployment, which is crazy looking back on it now, but that's what they told us. I mean, that was what the war was at that moment.
Did you name your daughters? What'd you name your daughters? Are they Marja?
Alyssa and Audrey.
Okay.
And yeah. And so they're incredible. I had this weird moment where it's 10 years ago to no, 12 years ago today where I was just like, I'll be doing this for 20 years if I don't stop. I just remember giving the phone back and being like, this will be the next 20 years of being like, how was graduation or how was this event? And I just couldn't do it.
And because we got everything we asked for, like in our world with, and as far as military careers and missions and actions, I remember getting everything that we asked for. And I think one of the older guys kind of get burned out is because just the guys leave. They transition out, and the fire that we had because of being 9/11 babies is different now than the guys that are coming in.
Yeah.
And there's nothing bad about that. It's no one's fault. I'm just saying what drives us, it's a different kind of fuel. I mean, we're the ones that got hit in the face. You know, the ones after us are the ones that are just pissed off about the distance. Yeah, time and distance. Sure. Time, speed, distance. That's it.
Like, because, like, I have a memory of seeing the towers get hit. You have a memory, sure. So does everyone in the room.
That's what was happening.
And, like it's weird. I just remember, like, being in school and, like, wheeling out the TV, and, like, nobody knew what to do. Like, and it went on for a long time. And so it's something that we never forget. And I always try.
That's right. That was the thing, man. It wasn't a fast hitting. It took a while.
No. I mean, the buildings fell down.
Yeah,
for like
it took a while
a
for them to fall. Right?
Yeah, for days they were doing, and then for weeks after that, they were trying to rescue people. So you were glued to the TV to see if there was someone coming out of the rubble. I mean, that's how I was.
They didn't know where people were. They had lost people. They're like, engine whatever can't be found.
Yeah,
where are they?
Yeah, that was so terrible. I mean,
that's what they call sackcloth and ashes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that's called when everybody walks out covered like that?
I think so.
I don't know.
That's what that is, right? That's that all that. Remember, with this, I remember the videos.
Oh,
man,
yeah, just watching everybody
coming out of there
in ash and
freaking dust.
I would watch just to see someone rescued, because that one moment that someone was pulled out, you just felt like so victorious.
They're standing there, man, with the cameras on them, and the clap. Those clouds would roll over. Oh,
yeah.
When the different camera angles were coming in. Like every 9/11, when the new documentary is coming out and those new camera angles come in from cell phone, those are crazy. I mean,
yeah, and they can restore them too. That's
amazing.
We were watching this past year with the kids, and I was like, yeah, they can restore and like make things better. But it's wild. I mean, I've talked to a few people who were there, like when it happened, and they have like their stories, and I could never go into it. But like, it sounds like a war zone.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, because I mean, it was, but like, it's not something I ever thought I'd see in my lifetime, where the country I lived in became a place that was attacked by someone like that.
Yeah, and then we were scared that it was going to happen again, like in another city. And so everyone was on pins and needles.
Well, that's the thing. It did happen in other cities. It kept getting hit. That was another thing we keep forgetting to talk about. One, just the towers. Man, there's the Pentagon.
Well, the
and then
Pentagon.
That, yeah, and then
the
other plane went down. It was a long
plane. Went
Pentagon,
down.
The one in Pennsylvania in that field. Yeah. Like it was... You know, it was a whole thing.
Right.
And, you know, it just sent, I feel like it sent so many different people in a different direction.
Sure.
Like it happened, and it just launched us, so many of us.
Oh, that's a whole civilian life humanitarian change. I mean, that affected everyone around the world. When something like that goes down, when you see something like that, sure.
So what'd you do after the military when you got out?
I'm still making it up as I go.
You're in the sign business.
I started out,
You're in the sign business.
You know what, I'm in advertising.
You're in advertising. Thank you. That's right. That's a professional way. I'm executive advertising.
No, I wanted to go to college, like really wanted to go to college. And the GI Bill is incredible. And so we moved to Nashville, Tennessee, where my family lives now. And I was like, okay, let's go to college. And that's what I did. I started going to college and trying to make a life for our family here. And been worked in healthcare for a while. And now I work in what I'm doing now I actually work at Black Rifle Coffee.
Hey,
is my day job.
Nice work, man.
Yeah.
Great organization. Love
and
guys.
I do my other stuff on the side, but yeah, I've got a multitude of things.
That's awesome. Is that at their new factory or something? Don't they have something new in Nashville?
They've most of the coffee that's made comes from Tennessee.
Yeah.
It comes from Manchester, Tennessee, which is famous for the coffee that comes out of there in Bonnaroo, the outdoor festival that happens every year.
Yeah.
So it's
I think
it's pretty
I saw
funny.
A picture of him and JT together. Oh,
yeah.
Right?
We're gonna check that out.
Yeah. No, it was JT had he brought me into the world. Like he so I'll just tell
he,
the story
he does
like
that,
this.
Man.
So I started,
yeah, you can tell anything you want about that sucker.
Yeah, no,
I know, I love him to death, man. He's a freaking good dude.
I
love him. I mean, he changed my life in a lot of ways. Through helping me working at Black Rifle and through connecting me through vets to go to the treatment that I just did recently.
Nice.
And all the other things. It's been incredible.
Well, welcome back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yes.
So
we both did that.
So what now?
What now?
I got a question for you. How was school? How, going back to college, I asked the guys this because remember in the beginning, like you were in eighth grade, and when we went to college for one semester, when we were there, it was different. I mean, even the way we learned was different. And I'm telling you, four years in the military was like a trade school that not only taught you how to study, but it sent you around the world to get a lot of stories to talk about while you're in college. And every person that I see, say every, let's not go that far, but I mean, that goes into college, I've never heard of one of them having a problem with the studying and getting through there. It's just it's a joy, actually.
Yeah. So I only had a hiccup right in the beginning, but I crushed school. Like I honestly walked through it. I don't know what I was doing K through 12.
That's what I'm talking about, man. It's completely
different. I came out of the Marines and these kids were like, oh, I can't wake up before noon. I was like, dude, I already done my extra credit. Like my first semester I had a 4.0.
Yeah. You're the one that ruins the bell curve now. Right. I was going to just ask our class always makes hundreds on shit. Like the K through 12 got me too. It was like, I knew God made me bad at math in the beginning. Cause he knew I'd be too powerful. Like I had to go through all that other stuff just to get to here.
Amen. Amen. I'm right there with you. Holding,
all right. Just checking.
Holding the left lateral.
Yeah. All right.
But no, I was like, this is a job. This is a job and there's a lot, it's actually pretty easy. Like they give you a syllabus and they're like, this is when you come to work. This is when you take your tests. And so I got my bachelor's and I even got a master's in business administration.
That's awesome.
So like, I just kept going. And it's funny. I was thinking, you know, a big, y'all's thing is like, what was the hardest moment? My like never quit moment. And it honestly was the first year I got out. It was
talking about it. It's like getting the battle rhythm, right? It's tough.
So the first year I got out was horrible, just straight up rough. Because I was doing really good at school and making things happen, but I couldn't find a job anywhere. Nobody cared that I was, you know, in Afghanistan for like 6 months prior to the first day, 96, like 3 months before I was in school. And I had that first semester of college. So my whole plan was to go to school and be a nurse practitioner to be on in Nashville, we have Vanderbilt University of Medicine.
Oh, yeah.
They have Life Flight.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to be a flight nurse because, like, I was like, that'll, like, meet my metric of danger and helping people. Right?
You got to balance. You don't be too nice while you're helping people. There's got to be a level of aggression. And yeah, I'm sure.
You know, it's not enough to just work in an ER. The ER's got to be flying. And I was like, I want to do it. And but that first semester of school was on my transcript, and I didn't know that it was supposed to come off if I took those classes. I didn't know anything about college. I'm a first generation college graduate. And so I was trying to get into nursing school. I couldn't get into any nursing school at all. Like no one accepted me. And then on top of that, I lost one of my friends from that took his own life. My first friend took his own life after service. And it was just a straight year of me working. And the only job I could get was working night shift at the hospital. So I would go to school during the day. I would sleep in my car for like 3 hours at a time, and I would work 7 to 7, and then my day would be over and I'd sleep and start over. Yeah. It was 3 days a week like that.
So that's how I tell a lot of the guys that go about it that way. When you're coming back out, man, it's like, look how we were taught to take something down to defeat something. Mm-hmm. Man, like, you can go in there. Hey, he's like, give me a job. Can I do this? I'm like, yeah. Or you do it that way. You go to school, then you come in through the janitor's closet, and you start working your way up, so everyone sees you and they know who you are. And then by happenstance, like, oh yeah, you can definitely go in there. There's more than one way to get into school. Everyone's going in that front door the way we try. Hey, I want to get in here. Can you let me? No. All right. Well, check it out. Then we're gonna recon this thing. We're gonna go in undercover, and I'm gonna get a job here doing something else. It's brilliant, man. And that's how it gets done, man. And
Rudy.
It was honestly brutal, and I don't even know how I did it sometimes, because I was home and I was seeing my family less than ever because I was working night shift and then going to school during the day, and it was just like that for like a year straight. And then after my friend took his life, I was like, wait, I need to stop. Like, I have feelings that are uncomfortable too. I need to figure out what's going on. And I reassessed and I started to focus on like my path forward. And for me, I've always found the best version of myself in service to others. And everything that I've done throughout my life has just been trying to help people or trying to be of service to people. And so I thought it was doing this one specific thing with, like, you know, working on like a flight nurse to like, okay, it's all the same theme. The theme is helping people. So I need to lean towards that. And when I started just going with that, I found like new levels of success. Like, I got a job at a nonprofit. I started like traveling. I started like, my grades got better and everything just started to continue to go up until the pandemic, when I started Veteran with the Sign, and now it's in a whole different lane. Right. But it's always been the same thing, like help people be better versions of themselves. Cause that helps me. It keeps me accountable too. Like, it's a think about it like a gym.
It's a fuel. It's a give and take.
Yeah.
Like, we gotta do that, man. It's a feedback. It's a loop that I, for whatever reason we punched out, that link in that chain got taken away. And you think that's a bad thing, but what's happening is you're getting linked to something else, which ultimately comes back around. So when you want to make your transition, no one wants to go when everything's good. Like, all the money you have.
No.
When do you want to make a transition? Shit, man, when you want to get out of something. Like, during a quarantine, COVID, we were all locked down. Man, we come out of this and be ready. You know, when we're stepping into something new, that's how you do it. And that's the only way we could do this and make everyone in the country understand, you know, how important each of us are. Man, we'd have to get sick together.
Yeah, it took the whole world slowing down before, like, everyone was able to realize that, like, community is one of the most important things we have. Like, it was great. Like, I remember, like, we made a pallet for a month, like, downstairs in my house, like, just me and the kids. And, like, I'll never get that time back. And I was like, I want to do this. Whatever can let me be with them the most, I'm going to focus on that.
Right.
And then that was what led me towards just, I was like, why don't I just write, you know, funny sayings on cardboard? And like, that was literally it. And my wife was, she was super thrilled at first when I first started trying to do it. Cause she told me to stop making jokes from my 10 friends on the internet, but that was really just it.
Right.
Like, and then, and then I was like, okay, I'll just start writing them. And then it just kept going and kept going. And Captain Crozer was the Navy captain who brought attention that his whole ship had COVID when they said,
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I remember
and,
that.
It was the day I was getting ready to shut the page down. I put a post up, said, bring him back. And I turned off my phone for like a day and I turned it back on and it just exploded.
Yeah.
It just like went a different direction and it's been going ever since then.
That's awesome, brother. For sure, man.
I love it.
Yeah, but I'm just making it up. I'm just trying to tell stories.
Well, and you have to have humor. I mean, that's what, like, Marcus and all of his friends, they get through the bad times through humor. And that's what you do with your page.
Well, it's logic.
Signs.
Yeah, as well.
Yeah, humor and logic.
That's right.
But I remember messaging you one time and you said that you, what did you say? You wanted to do a sign that said "Stop saying you know Marcus Luttrell."
I did. I haven't made yet. We might need to cut that.
No, well, it's so funny because Marcus does know everybody.
You'd be surprised, bro. I know down there everybody.
Has met and knows.
I'm working on it.
So many freaking people. It's. I don't know how it's possible.
I'll get to
every one
of you before I'm done here.
And that's why I was like, well, he kind of does.
Well, so it's just this very, so like.
It's okay to say you know Marcus Luttrell. Marcus
is in a different level of like a cultural icon, right? And so like once it wasn't just the Navy SEAL aspect. It's not just the book. It's then like Marky Mark was him on the big screen and everything else.
I do got that and going so for me. So it's.
Yeah. No, well, but it's this thing of like, I've noticed people, because everyone outside of the military thinks the military is like a high school.
Yeah.
And like, we all meet up in the cafeteria.
Yeah, right?
And,
I know that. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
And they're like,
No,
it's not like that. It would be cool if it was, but it's not.
Like, there's one big castle that has all the military guys are all, we kind of hang out there, eat lunch together.
Yeah. But just throughout my life, and more often than not, people have been like, hey, do you know Marcus Luttrell? And I'm like, bro.
Of course I do.
Like, do you? And I'm like, do you? And they're like, no, I don't. I'm like, cool. No, it's just because it's just
so
like
funny.
I know they're trying to like relate.
Yeah.
But it's what they should say is like, have you read his book? Not do you know
right.
him? I'm like, no. Because then they're always like this.
Do you know him? Oh. Do you call him at home?
It's so funny.
And then they did the follow up like, you're a Navy SEAL, and I'm just like, bro, there's other jobs. You know, like,
the only branch of service.
Can't do all
Navy SEALs.
Like, there's just a lot of.
Well, I've been credited with killing Bin Laden.
Oh.
I wasn't even in the military.
Yeah, he was out.
I mean, that's
why you guys are so good.
You're like the Chuck Norris.
Well, it's an ebb and flow, man. We take the goods and the bad. Every mistake we've made, I was on that op too. I did all the bad stuff and the good ones. I'll take the blame for all of it. I don't care. I love my brothers, man.
But no, it's been fun to like create this community and have things to make. I don't know. Just I always want to take a little bit of I don't know what the right word is. I feel like military veteran culture sometimes takes ourselves a little too seriously.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you look back at the Greatest Generation when they came back from World War II. What they did is they brought perspective, and they were leaders and change. And it's actually really exciting to see people were stepping up like that, like Dan Crenshaw's and. In office, you know, your brother's running and people would say you do that. Ron DeSantis, another veteran as well. But like we too often kind of, I feel like we've kind of let our community get away with too much. And like, we need to kind of rein it back in a little bit.
Yeah.
And be more protective of each other and less destructive.
That happened because of 20 years of two wars. Mm-hmm. And they stretch this out. So you got fathers and sons talking about the same wars, and you probably have a grandfather and son, you know, that could do that as well, I would imagine.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? So the perspective that comes in on us is completely, we're different, hybrids, sitting right in the middle of the baby boomers who hated their patriots, and then you got the underneath us who ultimately are living in a utopia. I mean, if you could take that iPhone and touch a picture and it shows up to the door, that's paradise. I mean, there's no other way. What more could you want? If you could just touch something on your freaking phone, it shows up. Back when we were kids, man, those watches that you could talk to your friend on, that was Star Trek stuff. I didn't even have one of those damn watches.
Dick Tracy.
Yeah,
I remember
that thing,
Dick Tracy had one.
So, that,
and he,
so we're kind of living in what, I mean, the only, you know, taking it any further, man, we're heading to space. That's the next generation, that's the next step. These millennials, the Space Force is online.
It's like the
Jetsons. These freaking COVID babies are weird. Man, they like to climb walls and swing. I mean, it's unbelievable. They got special powers, dude. I ain't kidding, man.
Yeah.
Dude, it's weird. Trust me, these suckers are smart. Like, my kid looks at me like I'm stupid. And he does it with, like, smart eyes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no,
I mean, it's
exactly
like all that's
what
all my stuff's
about.
Already in his head. He's just kind of waiting for his body to grow up to match it up, man. It's terrifying.
Oh my
God. I'm scared of you.
I'm scared of you. That's why I'm so damn tough. I'm cutting my kids any slack. You can get to that line a second. Now he's like, I'll kill you, man.
Our daughter.
I know you're smart. Guess what? I'm tough.
Yeah.
Everything's going to win.
We all have something.
Hey, we got something. Yeah.
That's funny. So what's your next step with the not the podcast, the signs? I think you should do a coffee table book.
I'm not ruling it out. That's definitely something I've thought about.
That should be made out of cardboard too.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, So I've thought about that.
I'll take the first one.
Like a podcast. I'm thinking. So like the signs have been really good at like a communication starter, like a starting point. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately like what I want to happen is like, here's a thought I have, or here's an observation. Go discuss. And so I've thought about a way to like have like a greater expansion on it. Just to kind of, I think really just to allow more feedback and stuff like that. So I'm looking into different ways to do that. A book is definitely one of them.
So are you recruiting? So like if you have a team or a platoon out in Texas and we have our own cardboard, can we make up some signs that you approve of and say, tack them in town? Like to one of the, ooh, maybe the back of somebody's car, a veteran that they don't know it.
I'm in. Oh, I'm in.
make some bumper stickers that look like the cardboard sign. Right?
Oh my God.
I've thought about that. Yeah. I've got to be careful. You're a whole lot more lighthearted than most of your Navy SEAL brethren. They're a little sensitive.
They are some sensitive bastards. All Navy SEALs are sensitive. God. That's a real thing. Don't worry about them. They'll be all right,
drama.
Man.
So soft.
Yeah, now, I did one that said, I think I sent it in the email. It said, wearing gaiters doesn't make you a SEAL, but writing a book does.
That's right.
That's and, funny.
That's good. That's hilarious, actually.
That's funny.
it was from Sean Mastin. It was his idea to do it, who's the Navy SEAL, right?
Right.
And he sent me, and like one of his friends who was in class with him were like, how dare you? You're so disrespectful to the SEALs.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
So him, long story short, they ended up like having to like talk about it, be like, bro, it's all jokes. And he's like, well, I was making sure this youngin' wasn't out of line.
Oh, well, there's that. I get that part. Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. That's part of it.
Oh,
yeah.
My
our
God.
Brothers will come in there quick. Sure, yeah. They will.
But like, he just emerged.
I can't protect
just
you from
emerged.
That. But yeah, I even catch that.
No, he just emerged out of the water and he was like, how dare you? And I was like, bro,
they
it's
come
just
up
a joke.
From the deep, they'll snatch you down and they'll hold on to you and scare the piss out. Yeah, they're real.
Oh, yeah. We get talks.
So I check in with them guys so they can yell at me just so I'll stay humble.
Yeah.
I mean, I look forward to the ass chewings I get on a regular basis. And that's about be the first time I ever openly said it out loud. But I was like, I read them just because. Just to hear them yell at me. Because all the time in the military, the older guys were always telling me what a piece of shit I was. I mean, if one of them old timers told me I was a good dude, I might get scared.
Like,
what?
But they love you. That's how I know. That's their terms of endearment.
That's my point. If that shifts, though, then they're just like, then they're not talking to you. If they're not saying something to me, then I'll be like, hey, man.
Why are you being so nice?
Why are you being so damn nice to me, man? You know, what's up?
Yeah. The one thing I've noticed, though, throughout all of this, and it's actually been really, really inspiring to see, is there are things that just kind of transcend branch, job, everything. And it's just like service is one of the big things. And then like, I've also noticed that if you've been kissed by violence, then like you can see it on other people.
Oh yeah.
And like, it's like automatic. And it's been really cool to see the community emerge out of it. I don't know. I'm going to keep doing it as long as people want to be a part of the conversation.
Hey, that's how we pull these shoestrings together. Like when we get out, man, you unlace your boots. So we're all just kind of sitting around at what the internet and this forum does is allow us to pull those strings together. And the cool part is it's once we took our skins off, we're all in the same club now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like now the Marine, those independent are the bragging rights of what you did and where you went. And then now we start talking about the places and the times.
Yeah.
Because that's where it really gets interesting.
Well, because we have to come together. Like we have to be 100%. The force that's driving each other.
Sure.
You know,
ain't nobody else going to motivate us.
No, and like we have to protect our community and be better advocates for it, like and internally and externally. Like,
my military life, it doesn't matter how bad I got my ass whipped or what happened to me, man, in such a form that where it was the most amazing time of my life that anybody hearing me talk about it would want to go in there and do it.
That's I had a grenade launcher phrase, at one point.
You know what I mean?
You had a what?
Yeah. I had a grenade launcher at one point. Life was pretty chill.
Thank you.
Like, it was awesome. Yeah.
Dude
like,
gave him a grenade launcher.
Yeah. I had it in my backpack. 203, and I could thread it. I could boom, boom, boom.
Isn't that cool?
It was incredible.
I was like, man, we have yachts in the Navy. Like, I have my own yacht. You don't believe me? Check it out. There's 6,000 people in that floating city at aircraft carrier. The average age is about 19 to 20. You don't think we know how to party? Like,
yeah.
Come on. And we protect this whole country. 20 to 25-year-olds, right, is the bulk of that.
We went on one recently. Truman. The Truman.
They're deployed right now.
Yeah, they're deployed right now. And we went like the week they were leaving, we went to visit them.
Christmas,
they were
right? Getting, right before Christmas?
Right before Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yeah.
They were getting ready to leave, and they were showing us the area where the, who drives the boat? What's the guy's name that drives the boat? The captain?
Yeah, well.
I don't know. I don't know the names of the but we go up there, and I asked how old the person was that actually has the wheel. 18.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
18 years yeah. old. That's driving yeah, the boat. Oh,
the pilot. Yeah, the pilot. The actual pilot of the boat. The captain sits over in his chair.
Yeah,
There's an actual captain's chair.
Like, but there's an actual and there's a wheel, like, wheel.
Which we need to send them
that. I have a picture of this. There's
I told
them
I was
going
to give them an old shit ball to put on the wheel.
An 18-year-old is in charge of that wheel.
One main guy. Or was it a girl? Was it a guy or a girl? Anyways, 18 years old drives that sucker.
That's crazy to me.
Think about that.
No, it's wild. I mean, like, I go back and I was 22. My last tour ended up, the various circumstances, ended up being a squad leader, but I was in E3 and they were getting promoted, but none of that matters. But, like, I was 22 years old in charge of 12 Marines and sailors and about a half dozen Afghan soldiers. And, like, I can't even rent a car.
Yeah.
But, like,
that's a great way of saying that. You know what I'm talking about? When you get out of school, if you want to get treated like a child till you're 40, be a civilian. Yeah. If you want to get it treated like an adult by the time you're 18, join the military. Because having an 18-year-old drive that boat, and when I say boat, people know there's 6,000 people on aircraft carrier.
It's a floating city.
Cities. Yeah.
Airplanes and helicopters, and I mean a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Like malls and stuff in there. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And you got some 18-year-old just going through the numbers on this sucker.
You know,
and not only that, there are a lot of more vessels around that sucker that can cause some havoc.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did ship duty for a month when we were with the Mew. We were on the Nassau, and I was like, nah, it ain't for me. Like,
well, I didn't say being out. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a team guy, man, because we just get to go in for a little bit and come back out.
Yeah, y'all got off the boat.
Yeah, well, we get to.
They put us underneath the, wherever they store food, they put the birds in area.
They stick y'all way down there, man.
Yeah. And so it's funny, we would we'd borrow like our corpsman's Navy shirt so we could PT, because if not, they'd only had 2 hours a day. We'd go to the gym, but it was just, we were just in the way.
Because the whole vessel has to, right. Because they have the ship's company, and then when we're extras.
Mm-hmm.
So they just got to find a place to put us. That we always bribe the skipper and the master chief and all that. You know, we'll take them to the Fantailum, shoot all the guns, blow stuff up, and then give them all the equipment and cool stuff. And then they make life pretty easy. Now, if you piss them off, they can make life hell for you.
Did you ever go on a ship?
Come here, petty officer. Oh, yeah. Come to chief country.
Right. Yeah, you piss the chief. Oh, man, heaven help you, you piss chief off on the boat. They run the Navy. Chiefs do.
Yeah, they do.
You don't want to mess with them. For sure. All right, brother, man. How? What else can we do to help you, support you,
and
volume, man? Keep in touch.
You?
Everybody can check out Veteran with the Sign on Instagram and Facebook, and there's a website, veteranwiththesign.com. I'm going to continue to keep pushing and trying to help message, and, you know, ultimately I want it to be a place where it's not just me, it's continuing to be people like, you know, children did it, like anyone. I want it to be a place where you can have a conversation and be that bridge between the military and civilian world, because ultimately that's what's hard. Like, nobody, like, we all know, like I said, I was 22 in charge of that many people. They have no concept of that, and so we have to find a way to create that conversation.
You know what would be cool,
so
man?
Understand it.
I'm sorry, this is an idea. We didn't have to talk about this, could be offline, but like Veteran to Sign, and you have the homeless guys, the homeless veterans, and we're our own news organization. Like, if you had a place you could check in, like turn TV on in the morning, and then like you're in Tennessee, you walk outside, it's like, hey, this is what's going on right in this town. There ain't no gunfire, nothing. Then the vets, they're like reporters undercover. Some of them guys don't want to come in. They like that life. But then we have those check-in spots where they can go in, get a meal, a shower, shit shave and shine, and get your ass back on the street where you like being. It's always having, like when they would send us into the field, no matter how deep they would send us, we knew that there was a spot we could come back and get a meal and some fresh change of clothes, maybe rest for a bit. So I understand that life.
It's also a thing you know you can do. Like, I could live out of my rucksack forever. Couldn't you? You could live out of a rucksack.
100%. 100%.
Like, that's it.
Easy day.
So I think familiarity is a big part of it. It's tough, but yeah, no, that's what we want to keep doing. It's just, I want it to be a place where like eventually anyone can do it. I just want people to be able to talk and have a conversation, because it can't be me forever. And
it will be, but you're just going to have buddies with you. We got your back, man. All right, brother, man. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Wait. Tell people the Instagram handle.
Oh, I thought.
It's, yeah, go it's ahead. At veteran with a sign. That's the Instagram. That's where everybody's to go. And it's also on Facebook as well.
Awesome. Thank you for telling us your story.
Yeah, Zach. I appreciate that, man. We'll keep in touch, man. I'll get your number after this, and we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.